today in our lessons and in all that we do, that we will help and encourage one another. As we're all on the road to heaven, we're all wanting to be obedient to God, and so we can help one another in that regard. This morning, I want us all to ask the question, are you listening? Our text that we're going to be looking at is found in Luke chapter 8. I want to begin by reading just Luke chapter 8, verse 18. It says, "Take heed, therefore, how ye hear, for whosoever hath, to him shall it be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have." And so he says here, he gives the admonition, take heed how you listen, or take heed how ye hear. The New King James Version says, therefore take heed how you hear. The English Standard says, take care how ye hear. And so we need to be careful how we hear the Word of God. Now the context of this verse is found at the end of the parable of the sower. It's a warning about what we hear and the way in which we hear it. And so in order to understand this, we must look at the basic message of the parable. And so we're going to look at the parable of the sower. The parable is first given in verses 5 through 8, and then it is explained in verses 11 through 15. But in verses 4 through 8, it says, "When much people were gathered together, and there were come to him out of every city, he spake by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and a thorn sprang up with it and choked it. And other fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit a hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear." And so as he goes on and he explains the parable in verses 11 through 15, he says in verse 11 that the seed is the Word of God. Now the parable is this, the seed is the Word of God. So the sower went out, he sowed seed. The seed he sowed is the Word of God. You know, the seed is the means of reproduction. It is the source of development or growth. The message or truth that comes from God's Word is what he's speaking of. At 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23, we're told that we're born again, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God which liveth and abideth forever. Not corruptible seed. We're not born again by the words of men. We're born again by the Word of God, that seed that comes from God. And so the seed is the Word of God. Who is the sower? You know, the sower is Christ. He came down from heaven to sow the spiritual seed to this world. He named this parable the parable of the sower. You know, from a reading of the parable, you might think it's the parable of the soils. And some have called it that, the parable of the soils. But in Matthew 13, verse 18, in the same or parallel passage in which he gave this same parable, he explained it, he said, and he called it, he gave it a name, the parable of the sower. And so we should put our focus rather on the sower here. And so it's not the parable of the soils, it's not the parable of the hearer, it is the parable of the sower. Now, he mentions some soils in this. Mentions four kinds of soils, and we'll get into those in a minute. But they represent the hearers, the different kinds of hearers, the different way in which people hear. And so you have the wayside, the thorny, the rocky, and the good. The seed is good, though. Whatever soil it's sown in, the seed is good. There's nothing wrong with the seed. And so whether it bears fruit depends upon the soil in which it is planted. You know, I could go to the grocery store or the farm store or whatever and buy the right kind of seed, and I can plant that. I can plant it in my driveway. not going to grow in my driveway. Well, it might in a couple cracks, but that's about it. It's not going to grow if I put it out in the middle of the yard where there's lots of grass already there. And so we get the idea, it depends on where we plant it, whether or not it's going to grow, and whether or not it's going to produce fruits. And so then he gets in and begins to talk about the different soils. You know, in verses 12 through 15, as he's explaining this parable. In verse 12, he says, "Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved." And so here is this ground here. It's hard. The seed can't penetrate it. It can't go in. The paths of the roads at the edge of the field is what this would represent. You know, the areas where the farmer walks and he's trod a path. It's not going to grow there. It's not going to grow in the middle of the highway. And so these seeds that fall there, they're trodden under the feet of men, and what's left, the birds pick up and eat. And so the hearers here are those of the hard-hearted. They're the ones who hear the word of God but continue on as they were before without it really penetrating them. You know, they're unresponsive to the word of God. They refuse to make a change. They refuse to repent. And then the birds represents the devil. You know, he takes the word out of their hearts. He knows the word of God will produce faith, so he removes it before it has a chance to take roots. And so we are told in 1 Peter 5, verse 8, to be wary. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He wants to take that seed out of your heart. He does not want you to obey the gospel. You know, there are a lot of people like this today, and it seems more and more so are like this today. You know, they hear, but they let the devil take the word out of their hearts, and they do not obey it. And so the wayside soil, I think, describes a great number of people in our world today, unfortunately. And then he talks about the rocky soil. In verse 13, "They on the rock are they, which when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away." And so the condition of this soil is very thin. You know, out where Kathy and I come from, Central Texas, there is not very much dirt. It's hard to get anything to grow out there. There might be 1 or 2, maybe 4 inches of dirt on top of rock. And so it's really hard it's taken my dad a number of years to get a garden going because he's just been piling up leaves and making a compost pile, until he's actually finally starting to get enough soil that he can actually grow something. And so the soil is very thin. When things are planted there, when things take root there, they spring up very quickly. But when it's hot, when the sun comes out and when those temperatures begin to rise, they begin to wither because of the lack of moisture. Because the roots cannot penetrate through the rock. And so he says, these hearers are those that are shallow-hearted. You know, they're ready to jump and obey, and there's nothing wrong with making a quick decision. But the problem is their shallow faith. You know, accept the gospel quickly, but they also lay it aside quickly. You know, there are those that are rootless Christians who they so soon they dry up and they die. Over in Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7, you know, Paul warns here. He says, "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, that ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving." And so he says that we're to live the Christian life, that we're to allow ourselves to be rooted, to grow roots and send down roots of faith, rooted in him. Not to be a shallow, but to send down deep roots. The rocks here, again, represent the shallow faith. They will not allow the roots to grow. If we don't have a deep and abiding faith in the Word of God, if we don't have a deep and abiding faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, then our roots will not go very deep. And when trouble comes along, we're going to fall away. Next day, he spoke of the thorny soil in verse 14. It says, "And that which fell among the thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection." And so the condition of this ground is, it is good ground. It's good soil. It's not too hard. It's not too shallow. But there were roots also in the soil. The roots of thorns, I guess. The good seed grew, but it was soon choked out by the thorns. And so they brought no fruit to perfection. They're dwarfed or stunted. You know, sometimes if you don't clean out that garden bed before you plant the good seed in there, if you don't get all of the other roots out, there's going to be a problem. And so as your seed grows, also those roots are going to grow, but they're already started, they're already established, there's already the roots there. And so they have a little bit of a head start on the seed you plant. And so this is good soil, but it's full of roots. Wasn't properly prepared. The hearers are those that obey the truth, and they begin very well. They become Christians. You know, they make a great start. You know, a lot of people are like this. A lot of Christians are like this. They make a great start. They are really faithful for a period of time. But then the cares and the riches and the pleasure of this world, though, begin to choke them out. And so they hear those that are more interested in their earthly home. You know, we sang just a moment ago about beyond the sunset. That's going to be our forever home when we get beyond the sunsets. But here, people like this, they're only concerned with the here and now. You know, riches, money, possessions begin to choke the word out of their life. Or maybe pleasures of this life. You know, what is a thorn? Really, a thorn is anything that separates between us and God. You know, we cannot serve two masters. Matthew 6:24, here is one who is growing in the thorny soil. It says, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other." Ye cannot serve God and mammon. To try to do so is to try to grow your plant in that thorny ground. We cannot serve two masters. These thorny Christians will never bring any fruit to perfection. You know, they're dwarfed, they're stunted. They are, you might say, Christians in name only. And so then we come to verse 15. He speaks of the good soil. But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience. And so notice here the ground, the good ground. It is rich and deep soil. It's free from rocks and from thorns and from hard places. You know, the seed sprang up and it brought forth fruits. Some brought forth fruit 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. You know, the increase, you know, there are different grades of production, but they all gave an increase. You know, the parable of the talents, remember the one talent man, he did not increase. He was not the good soil. The others were good soils, the two talent man and the five talent man. They each more than doubled what they had been given. And so there's different grades of production, but there is still fruit bearing. You know, the hearers here is, you know, this is the human hearts that is prepared by casting out all evil motives and receives the word of God honestly and sincerely. They have an honest and good heart. This person submits to the word and is not hindered by the cares of the world. He doesn't allow the cares of the world to separate him from the love of God. This person is determined to learn the truth. He wants to obey it. This is one who has a tender conscience. He bears fruit with patience. You know, there is that spiritual growth. There's going to be a harvest. There's going to be The hundredfold or the sixtyfold or the thirtyfold harvest. You know, not everyone is capable of producing the same amounts. We're not all equal in our abilities. But God holds us responsible to do with the abilities and talents that He has given us, to do everything we can with them, what He has given us. You know, these people here, they're confronted with the same temptations, the same trials, the same hardships as the others, but they resist and they stand firm. Good hearers receive truth in an honest heart, and it produces fruit in their lives. So here, the sower sows the seed, and the seed has life in itself. The ultimate responsibility for producing fruit lies with the soil. And so hearing is the ultimate responsibility. And so to further emphasize this, Jesus tells another parable, the parable of the candle, which really builds off of the parable of the sower. And verses 16 through 18, it says, "No man, when he hath lighted a candle, covereth it with a vessel, or putteth it under a bed, but setteth it on a candlestick, that they which enter in may see the light. For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. Take heed therefore how ye hear, for whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have." And so here in verse 16, no man, when he lighted the candle, covereth it with a vessel or puts it under his bed. Candles are made for lighting. And light may be seen. Jumped ahead. One slide too far. All right, Jesus, he is not going to refuse to reveal the kingdom to anyone. Now, he will preach the kingdom to everyone he possibly can. The gospel is for everyone. The light of the gospel is not to be concealed. It is not concealed. It is available to all. The grace which bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, Titus 2:11. All men are able to receive it. And so he's not going to conceal the light. He's going to let it shine. The light of truth, so far as it depends on him and his disciples, will be made available to all who are willing to see it. But you see, truth is perceived only to the degree in honesty, the degree of honesty and the desire that one has towards the truth. The truth is not going to be forced upon anyone. We must obey from the heart the gospel. In Romans 6, 17 and 18, he said, "But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness." And so the gospel is available to all. The sower sows the seed to everyone. The seed has life in itself. It's up to us to hear and receive the word of God. Verse 17, it says, "For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known abroad." And so Jesus, he uses parables to present truth simply because of those who refuse to let God tell them anything. The door of the kingdom must be closed. The truth is revealed, though, to the Word of God, or in the Word of God. Nothing is hid that shall not be made manifest, nor anything secret shall not be made known or come to light. Truth is there for us to study and learn. The light is there. It is up to man to see it. The light is already there. We've just got to look to it. And then verse 18, "Take heed therefore how ye hear." They might have concluded from his parable of the sower that the four conditions of the heart were permanent, that they were fixed forever. But Jesus is teaching them here that all can be good hearers. The hard soil may become soft again. The shallow soil can become rich and deep. The thorny soil can become open and clear once more. You know, the gospel can soften the hard-hearted. In Jeremiah 23 and verse 29, the prophet wrote, "Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces?" And so notice here, it can loosen and soften the hearts. The gospel can deepen the soil that is shallow. Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirits, and of the joints and marrows, and is a discerner of thoughts and intents of the hearts." Just like that double-bladed, plow cuts through that soil and deepens it and turns it over, the word of God can cut right through the hardness of our hearts, cut right through everything, and deepen the soil and make it shallow, or deepen the soil that is shallow. The word of God can expel the roots of evil. Romans 6, 1 and 2 says, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein?" The roots of evil, the word of God can expel that from our lives. Dead to sin. We can't live in sin any longer. And so when the word of God is given free course in our lives, then it can transform and enable those inferior soils to become good soils. Those who put the most faith in Jesus' words will understand them and profit from them the most. Those who do not believe on Jesus, they don't believe what he says, even what little truth they have, they will soon become meaningless to them and lost to them. What a man does not use, he will lose. Use it or lose it. And so the gospel, though, has the power to transform our lives. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 2, it says, "For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, being mixed with faith with them that heard it." Notice, it didn't profit because it was not mixed with faith with those that heard the word of God. Too many people allow the gospel to go in one ear and out the other. However, Jesus pleads with each listener to be like the good soil. Cultivate hearts that carefully listen to the words of life from God. And so take heed how ye hear. You are responsible for your own soul. So the question is, are you listening? Are you listening to the word of God? Are you adapting your life to come into agreement with the word of God? We must live and allow the word of God to transform our lives into the image of God, into the image of Christ, following the pattern of Christ, living our life dedicated faithfully to him. We cannot begin that journey, though, until we have the word of God in our hearts, until we've allowed it to grow and bring about that which it will produce, which is faithfulness, a faithful Christian. Today, if you're here and you've heard the word of God, that seed has now been planted. Let it be in the good hearts, in the honest and good hearts. Let it have its free course in you. Allow it to produce the desired effect, which is the salvation of your soul. We respond to the gospel. We respond to the seed that's planted by believing, confessing our belief that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, repenting of our lives and being baptized to have our sins washed away, and then living a faithful life, not allowing the cares and pleasures of this world to choke us out, not allowing the tribulations and trials to cause us to lose our faith. If you're here today and you're like the thorny soil, you're like the rocky soil, you allow the cares and the problems of this life to come between you and God. We urge you today to make it right to repent. If we can help you today, let us know as together we stand and as we sing the song of invitation.